We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Away we go, episode 788 of the Al Galdi podcast. It is Thursday, March 21st, 2024, the day after USC's pro day, i.e. showcase day, for USC quarterback Caleb Williams. And among those in attendance were Commanders general manager Adam Peters, Commanders head coach Dan Quinn, and Commanders offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury. Commanders assistant general manager Lance Newmark was expected to have been there as well. We on Friday have Michigan's pro day, i.e. showcase day for Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy, and that Commanders contingent is expected to be at that. LSU's pro day, i.e. showcase day for LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels, is this Wednesday, March 27th. North Carolina's pro day, i.e. showcase day for UNC quarterback Drake May, is next Thursday, March 28th. Now, of course, these pro days showcase players other than quarterbacks, but given that our team has the number 2 overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft, and given that our team has, shall we say, a need at quarterback, the quarterbacks are at the very least a focus, if not the focus. Hello and welcome to this Thursday installment of the Al Galdi podcast. The mock drafts continue to vary in terms of who the mocks have the Commanders taking at 2. The latest mock draft of ESPN NFL draft analyst Mel Kiper Jr. has the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels. The latest mock draft of NFL draft analyst Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network and NFL.com has the Commanders taking Drake May. The latest mock draft of NFL draft analyst Chris Trapasso of CBS Sports has the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels. The latest mock draft of Pro Football Focus lead NFL draft analyst Trevor Sikkema has the Commanders taking Drake May. Jaden or Drake, Drake or Jaden. And then there's the wild card of J.J. McCarthy. Something that is clear is that the Commanders are leaking little, if anything. A consistent theme that you read and hear is that the Commanders are airtight, no leaks. That is a good thing. Also a good thing is who I have as a guest next segment, Carolina Panthers insider Joe Person of The Athletic. Joe is the number one Panthers insider, and he's going to tell us about 2 very well-received acquisitions by the Commanders in free agency this offseason: linebacker Frankie Luvu and safety Jeremy Chinn. Luvu spent the last 3 seasons with the Panthers. Chinn has spent all 4 of his NFL seasons with the Panthers. Prepare yourself for some great perspective on these guys, including why Joe believes that Luvu and not edge defender Brian Burns is the Panthers' biggest loss this offseason, why Joe believes that Luvu is the Panthers' best linebacker since Luke Kuechly, the many ways in which Luvu excels, what went right and wrong for Chinn during his time with the Panthers, and more. And Joe will discuss some other Commanders-related Panthers items of interest, including how the Panthers' assistant defensive backs coach, former Redskins corner D'Angelo Hall, is doing. Yes, D. Hall is on the Panthers coaching staff. Panthers insider Joe Person of The Athletic next segment. By the way, did you see or hear about the Terry McLaurin trade talk on Wednesday? Kevin Adams is the host of Barstool Sports' Pittsburgh Steelers podcast. He, on Wednesday morning on X, wrote the following, quote, "Heard some whispers that could be more than whispers. Terry McLaurin. Don't rule that out," end quote. The implication, clearly, that the Steelers want to trade for Commanders receiver Terry McLaurin. Well, this got people all kinds of excited, but a good friend of this podcast, Commanders insider J.P. Finley of NBC4, he on Wednesday afternoon on X wrote the following, quote, "Reached out to sources. Rumors about Terry McLaurin being traded aren't real. Zero truth to him being available," end quote. Now, as I have said, and I stand by this, I don't think that any player on the Commanders should be considered untouchable via trade, including Terry. But I would not be trying to trade Terry, and it would take a lot for me to want to trade Terry. If Steelers' trade interest in Terry is real, then our general manager, Adam Peters, should at least listen. But there's no reason for the Commanders to trade Terry unless they're, like, overwhelmed with an offer. Terry is productive. He's durable. He's a model citizen at a position filled with divas. He's going into his age 29 season, so he isn't super young, but he also should have plenty of productive seasons left, especially with how he takes care of himself. And with the team poised to take a quarterback in the first round of the draft, you want to surround that quarterback with weapons. Terry is a weapon. No player on the Commanders should be considered untouchable via trade. I very much believe that. But Terry is, shall we say, the closest thing to untouchable. He is the player on the team with the most trade value, right? I mean, who on the Commanders right now has more trade value than Terry? Nobody who I see. Also on the show, the Capitals. They, on Wednesday night, in their push for the Stanley Cup playoffs, got pushed. I'll examine what happened in a 7-3 loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs at Capital One Arena, including a positive 2 more goals for top-line left wing Alex Ovechkin. Before we get to some feedback, some college basketball, a salute to VCU, a 70-61 win at number one seeded Villanova late night on Wednesday night in the first round of the NIT. The Rams ended the game on a 12-3 run. Next up for VCU at South Florida Sunday night at 7:30. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Email from David Hilliard in Elkton, Maryland on what the Commanders have done in free agency. Writes David, "Hello, Al. Never miss your show. I was listening to you on the Ben Standing show, and I think that both of you guys do great jobs. I think that the turnover of the roster is less a repudiation of Ron Rivera's job and more a function of holes that need to be filled. The draft is going to be where the build is going to be, but the team needs to backstop the major areas with free agent talent. Most of the guys who have been signed are experienced and have history with coaches on the team. I also think that if I was given the task to rebuild a roster and had not only a lot of draft picks, but also a lot of salary cap space, I would turn over the roster as much as possible, not because of the lack of talent on the roster, but because of the bad feelings that are definitely associated with bad football play. These guys are not in great frames of mind, so we got guys who are and have no baggage." Now, about the Sam Howell trade, I think that we got ripped off, but I don't know if there was ever going to be a better deal for him. I also think that Washington is definitely considering Drake May. I was and am impressed with Sam Howell and won't be shocked if he goes to Seattle and lights it up. Clearly, the Commanders have decided that he's not that guy. For me, I think that neither he nor Taylor Heinicke got much of a shot. Hopefully, the new coaches recognize that and set up the next guy to be more successful. Thank you for the email, David. Well, the ultimate repudiation of Ron Rivera's personnel work over four seasons as Washington head coach was what happened in the 2023 regular season. The team going just 4-13 with an NFL worst point differential of minus 189, despite not being hit hard by injuries and despite not facing an overly difficult schedule. However, I do view this massive roster overhaul this offseason as another repudiation of Ron's player personnel work for the team. General manager Adam Peters re-signing so few of the Commanders' unrestricted free agents says a lot. He's not a big fan of a lot of the players who were here. Remember the pause. January 16th, the introductory press conference for Adam Peters as Commanders GM. We had the following exchange.
Adam, David Aldridge with The Athletic. Welcome to D.C. I wonder what you think of the current roster.
I believe that there's a few cornerstone pieces in this roster. I believe we have a lot of work to do, and that's just evaluating everybody. And that's going to start with the coaches. When the coaches come in, we hire a head coach. We sit down together with the personnel department, and we sit down and evaluate everything and figure out where we need to be. So that's an ongoing process. I've started a little bit, but we have a lot of work to do, David.
Yes, the pause. We in sports have had the catch. We have had the decision. That right there was the pause. And the pause appears to have been quite telling. When it comes to Sam Howell as Commanders quarterback not having gotten much of a shot, well, that depends on how you frame things. Was he this past season on a terrible team? Yes. Was he this past season victimized by some bad play calling that did not do a good enough job of mitigating his tendency for taking sacks? Yes. But this was a fifth-round pick in the 2022 NFL draft who was basically gifted the QB1 job and then ended up starting all 17 of the team's regular season games. Do you know how many non-first-round quarterbacks have had the opportunity that Sam had this past season? Not many. Do you know how many non-first-round quarterbacks would kill for the opportunity that Sam had this past season? A lot. So I'm not on board with the idea that the Commanders did Sam wrong or set him up to fail or anything like that. And I'm not saying that David in his email necessarily said those things, but I have seen that sentiment expressed on X, and I think that that sentiment is wrong. Heck, David mentioned Taylor Heinicke. Our guy Tay-Tay would have loved to have gotten the opportunity that Sam got this past season. Again, basically gifted the QB1 job and then starting all 17 of the team's regular season games. Email from Jack L. on Washington's long quest for a franchise quarterback. Writes Jack, "To me, finding a franchise quarterback is like finding a good woman to be a good wife. What she is before the marriage has little to no bearing on what kind of wife she will be after the marriage. What a quarterback has done in college and his measurables, such as arm strength, running ability, height, weight, etc., have little to no bearing on the kind of quarterback he will be in the NFL. A quarterback becomes a franchise quarterback when he plays like one. It happens when it happens, and who knows when. The road to finding a franchise quarterback is paved with failed first-round draft choices and millions of dollars thrown away. Basically, you pay your money and you take your chances. My unqualified choice is Jaden Daniels. I do not want anyone who has played at North Carolina, the school of NFL failures. See Mitch Trubisky, our receiver Deami Brown, and Sam, I will hold on to the ball until I get sacked, Howell. Thank you for your daily podcast and for keeping me up to date with the local teams. You do a great job. Well, thank you for that, Jack. Interesting analogy. Finding a franchise quarterback is like finding a good wife. I think that there's a lot of truth in that, and I'm sure that it can also be said that finding a franchise quarterback is like finding a good husband. What's harder to find, a good wife or a good husband? I'll let you figure that out. I would say this about that North Carolina thing. Yes, Carolina does not have a great history of producing NFL quarterbacks, but neither does Ohio State, and yet C.J. Stroud just had a terrific rookie season. So you got to be careful with impugning all quarterbacks from a school because there usually are exceptions. Heck, there used to be a feeling that Big 12 quarterbacks made for bad NFL quarterbacks. Then Patrick Mahomes happened, and now nobody says that Big 12 quarterbacks make for bad NFL quarterbacks. But Jack's right when he says that a quarterback becoming a franchise quarterback happens when it happens. There seemingly is a randomness to which quarterbacks work out in the NFL and which quarterbacks do not work out in the NFL. Consider the quarterbacks taken over the first two rounds of the 2020 and 2021 NFL drafts. Right now, the quarterbacks taken over the first two rounds of the 2021 draft look quite bad, save for Trevor Lawrence, although you could argue that even he has not been what he was hyped to be. But the other quarterbacks taken over the first two rounds of the 2021 draft are Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, and Kyle Trask. How bad does that class look? But then, consider the 2020 draft. The quarterbacks taken over the first two rounds in the 2020 draft. Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, and Jalen Hurts. How good does that class now look? The 2021 quarterback class was thought to be good, and yet the 2020 quarterback class right now blows away that 2021 quarterback class. As things stand right now, the 2021 and 2022 quarterback classes are two rather poor back-to-back quarterback classes. Consider this, they're over the 2021 and 2022 drafts where 19 quarterbacks drafted. As things stand right now, only two of those quarterbacks are expected to start in week one of the 2024 season. The Jacksonville Jaguars' Trevor Lawrence and the San Francisco 49ers' Brock Purdy. Lawrence, the very first pick of the 2021 draft. Purdy, the very last pick of the 2022 draft. Yes, there seemingly is a randomness to which quarterbacks work out in the NFL and which ones don't work out in the NFL. And this absolutely is something to keep in mind with the Commanders having the number two overall pick in the 2024 draft. However, there is no randomness to which catering service is the best in the DMV, Catering by Uptown. It is the best catering service in the DMV, and Catering by Uptown through the end of March is offering a special deal for listeners of the Al Galdi podcast. Newly engaged couples can get 5% off any Catering by Uptown wedding package. Visit cateringbyuptown.com, set up your own personal tour of one of Catering by Uptown's premier waterfront venues, and mention that Al Galdi sent you to get the discount. If you're planning a wedding, you want great service, but you also want a great price. Catering by Uptown provides both. Visit cateringbyuptown.com and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. Catering by Uptown also can help you if you're planning a party or a corporate event. Catering by Uptown is a family business. Great service, amazing cuisine, and reliability are the foundation of what makes Catering by Uptown one of the most referred caterers throughout Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Northern Virginia. Whether you are planning a wedding, a birthday, anniversary, or retirement celebration, a charity gala, whatever, put Catering by Uptown to work for you. Catering by Uptown understands that special events deserve to be celebrated in style. Catering by Uptown takes care of every detail so that you can enjoy your event. From putting together and executing a menu to picking linens to selecting an excellent florist, Catering by Uptown is committed to meeting your needs and exceeding your expectations. And don't forget about the great offer for listeners of the Al Galdi podcast. Newly engaged couples can get 5% off any Catering by Uptown wedding package. Just visit cateringbyuptown.com, set up your own personal tour of one of Catering by Uptown's premier waterfront venues, and mention that Al Galdi sent you to get the discount. That's cateringbyuptown.com, and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, please consider following the podcast if you're not already doing that. Following the podcast is free. If you have an iPhone, you can follow the podcast simply by tapping the plus sign in the upper right corner on the page listing the recent episodes of the podcast. It's funny how things work out. We spent the last 4 years with Ron Rivera as Washington head coach in the coach-centric approach, dealing with the infusion of former Carolina Panthers executives, coaches, and players off Ron's time as Panthers head coach, right? The Carolina Mafia, the Commanthers. You get the idea. Well, here we are in this 2024 offseason off the firing of Ron this past January 8th. Adam Peters now is the Commanders general manager, and yet two of his most praised free agent acquisitions this offseason are two players from the Panthers, talking about linebacker Frankie Louvu and safety Jeremy Chinn, each of whom was an unrestricted free agent. The Commanders on March 14th officially announced having signed Louvu and Chinn. Louvu's contract reportedly is a 3-year, $31 million deal with $14.625 million fully guaranteed at signing. Chinn's contract reportedly is a 1-year, $4.105 million deal with $3.495 million fully guaranteed at signing. Each guy is an analytics darling. Each guy offers great promise. And for more on each guy, I'm very pleased to welcome to the Al Galdi podcast, Carolina Panthers insider Joe Person of The Athletic. You can follow Joe on X at Joseph Person. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Hey, Al, I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me on. I know this this Washington-Charlotte pipeline is, I guess, Charlotte to Washington pipeline is still alive and well.
Yes, it is, very much so. Frankie Louvu, he's entering his age 28 season, came into the NFL as an undrafted free agent out of Washington State with the New York Jets in May 2018. He was with the Jets for the 2018 through 2020 seasons and was with the Panthers for the 2021 through 2023 seasons. He, over his three seasons with the Panthers, played in 48 of a possible 51 regular season games. What comes to your mind when you think about Louvu with the Panthers?
Energy. And it isn't just like fake hustle. You know, he's a guy that backs it up, too. And I think the Panthers, that they lost two big defensive players last week in trading Brian Burns, and then seeing Frankie Louvu go out the door, and you could argue that Frankie was the bigger loss. I know Burns is kind of a little more higher profile, but Louvu, I don't know. I'll tell you what, like he's everywhere on the field. Like, you know, they would put him outside at an edge spot every once in a while to come off the edge, kind of A and B gap blitzing. I don't think the Panthers, frankly, last year, it was a transition year for them with a new defensive staff, very highly regarded defensive coordinator in Ejiro Averro. But I'm not certain they did enough blitzing with Louvu last year, because that's a tool in his toolbox. But just really disruptive player and plays with a lot of energy. And then I'm sure you've read and heard about this, that he's just a guy that teammates love. Like he's a guy of Polynesian descent, and he does like this island kind of rally type cry that's really cool. And we all kind of wrote about it at various times here in Charlotte, but the teammates loved it. And like I said, you can kind of see through a lot of that when it's kind of fake hustle or fake energy. And it was very genuine where Frankie Louvu was concerned.
The advanced stats speak very highly of Frankie Louvu in terms of pass coverage. It has been a long time since Washington had a linebacker who was truly good in pass coverage. What do you make of Louvu when it comes to pass coverage?
That's the funny thing. I didn't even mention that because, like, he's so good at so many different things. And, you know, he hadn't been to a Pro Bowl yet. Like, we're not trying to anoint him like, you know, Micah Parsons here. But he's just a really good all-around football player. I had heard that some in the Panthers organization, there was concern about the way he played, which, again, is like a positive. but concern about like the potential for future injury. But I don't know. I thought that was unfounded. I mean, he missed a game here or there during his time here, but no long stretches of being out. But yeah, he can cover too. But I just, it's just so far down, not down, but among the many things in his toolbox that you almost sort of take that for granted.
You just sort of addressed this, but how close did the Panthers come to re-signing Frankie Luvu?
You know, I've heard various things about it. Somebody claimed that they actually, made a higher offer than Washington, but that he liked the idea of playing in Dan Quinn's scheme. And I don't know if that was one of these things where it was like a last-ditch 11th-hour offer or where Frankie was already out the door. That certainly could have been the case. But, they had to spend a lot of money and wanted to spend a lot of money on offense, where they spent big time on two interior guards, Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis. I mean, Robert Hunt got a $100 million deal, and then they traded for Deontay Johnson. It's only one; it basically has 1 year left on that Steelers deal for $10 million. But they were, and that's not to say they ignored the defensive side of the ball. But I just wonder if they thought they might have been able to get and keep Frankie Luvu maybe on like kind of a hometown discount, which clearly ended up not being the case.
Is Frankie Luvu the Panthers' best linebacker since Luke Kuechly, or is that taking things too far?
No, that's accurate. Shaq Thompson would be in the conversation, but Shaq's missed some time with injury. Shaq's kind of more of a traditional linebacker, whereas Frankie, as we've talked about, Al, is along the lines of Kuechly, who could cover, who could blitz, who could be disruptive. And, it's one thing, like a lot of linebackers, you look at the end of the year and a bunch of them are over 100 tackles, and that's not nothing. But these guys that are really disruptive and getting the ball out on strip sacks or just on forced fumbles, tackling a running back. And Luvu just has a way of being around the football with a real kind of nose for arriving at the ball carrier with a lot of kind of momentum and in a lot of cases, popping the ball loose.
Much more with Joe Person in moments, but if you enjoy this podcast, check out BGO Blind Pig, the official podcast of BGObsession.com. BGO Blind Pig is a roundtable discussion of all things Washington Commanders football. Lots of good and passionate Commanders conversation from Commanders fans who know the team well. You can find the BGO Blind Pig podcast on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, or on any major podcast provider. Make BGObsession.com the home for your burgundy and gold obsession, and make the BGO Blind Pig podcast one of your weekly DC football listens. We're talking Frankie Luvu, Jeremy Chinn, and more with Panthers insider Joe Person of The Athletic. So, Jeremy Chinn, he's going into his age 26 season, was taken by the Panthers in the second round of the 2020 NFL draft out of Southern Illinois. Had very good 2020 and 2021 seasons, including placing second in the voting for 2020 Associated Press Defensive Rookie of the Year, which was won by then Washington edge defender Chase Young. But Chinn's last two seasons have been mixed at best, in part due to injury. Over the last two regular seasons, played in just 23 of a possible 34 regular season games. Have these last two seasons for Chinn been not as good as those first two NFL seasons because of injury, or has there been more to the situation than that?
Yeah, it's a great question. You're right. Like that, his rookie year. Now, if you look at the voting, it was not close. Chase Young won by a lot. But the fact that the Panthers are moving on so fairly quickly from a guy who was second for Defensive Rookie of the Year, is pretty telling. And it is sort of a tale of two things. In 2022, it was more injury. He missed a lot of time that year, and just kind of no fault of his own. And then in 23, last year, it was a scheme deal. As I said, they you know, Frank Wright comes in, Agero Avero, the defense coordinator, has had head coaching interviews already the last two off seasons. But anyway, he comes in, they go from a 4-3 to a 3-4 up front. On the back end, that this new staff just saw Chin as really kind of more of a big nickel. You know, they didn't quite love him as a linebacker. They didn't love him as like a free safety. And, you know, they thought he could help them as basically just, you know, in a nickel or dime package against certain looks, mostly tight ends and, you know, bigger receivers. And so that meant he didn't get on the field much. And then on top of that, he had a, I think it was a groin issue that cost him some games. So I like Jeremy Chin. He is a bit of a tweener. He's not in 22, he got exposed a little bit in coverage more than we had seen his first 2 years. But really, I mean, you'll see him, like, when you meet Jeremy Chin, like, he looks the part. Like, he is put together. He's always in great shape. He's, like, 6'3". Like, he looks like a guy that you're thinking, he's going to help us somewhere on defense. But the Panthers, in their scheme, just didn't feel like that was the case.
So would you say that Jeremy Chin last season was misused / miscast, or was it more that Chin last season was exposed?
Well, like I say, 22, which was, that was the year Matt Rhule got fired early on. I mean, there'd been so many coaching changes here, Allison. But 22, it was not a good season in coverage for Jeremy Chin. Still was able to make, you know, do some other things and blitz packages. I mean, it wasn't like he was just a complete bust. He just had some times where, you know, he was beaten in coverage. And I just think that when that transition came, so Steve Wilks was the head coach there at the end of that season and running the defense more or less. And when Wilks left, I think Wilks liked Chin, but, you started hearing at this time last year, like even well before OTAs even started, you started hearing kind of rumblings from the building, like maybe Chin wasn't going to be a great fit. And so I don't know if they'd made up their mind on him or, but I do know the coverage liabilities in their mind, were a big part of, and Jeremy, I did an interview with Chin real late in the season. And just, you know, kind of talking about how tough a year it had been. And, you know, I said, is this a deal where they just don't think you can cover? He said, well, that's what they think. And so, you know, it probably a fresh start was needed with them bringing back this defensive. Even with another new head coach, they did retain the defensive staff. And that was pretty much, I think, determined Jeremy Chin's fate.
Jeremy Chin with the Panthers played safety, played nickel corner, played linebacker. Where is he at his best?
Probably closer to the ball, to the line. And, you know, I always thought maybe a few more reps at outside linebacker would have served him well. But I know he had played a lot of that, I believe, in college. Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, when they drafted him, like he had a game in Minnesota where on two successive, I've never seen this before. I don't even know if it ever been done before. So it's at Minnesota. This would have been COVID year, I think. But so I'm watching at home, you know, covering the game from home. But he had strips of a running back. These weren't strip sacks. But one of them, he just ripped the ball out, you know, and like it didn't go bouncing on the turf. Ripped it out, stuck, had it in, cradled in his arm, and ran, you know, in 24 or 26 yards for a touchdown. They kick off, next play, same type of thing. He had fumble returns for touchdowns on successive offensive snaps for the Minnesota Vikings. You just thought you were watching a star in the making. And it just didn't ever really pan out for Chin in Carolina that way.
I did want to ask you about former Redskins corner D'Angelo Hall. He was hired by the Panthers as their assistant defensive backs coach in February 2023 for what was his first NFL coaching job, and he still has that job. The fact that he has been held over by a new coaching staff would seem to speak well for him. How's he doing as a coach in the NFL?
I think it's good. You mentioned it, like, I didn't get to spend a lot of time with D'Angelo last year in full, full transparency here, in part because, 11 games into the season, they were firing Frank Reich and firing Deuce Staley, the running backs coach, and Josh McCown, the quarterback, all this turmoil. But you said it, like, Dave Canales comes in as head coach, and they promoted Dan Morgan as he'd been the assistant GM. He becomes the full-time GM. Both of these guys make the decision that they're retaining the defensive staff. Not one or two. The entire defensive staff is back, which shows you the amount of respect that Dave Canales, who wasn't even in the organization, he talked about as Tampa Bay's offense coordinator going up against D'Angelo Hall and this crowd in the defensive staff room here. But it made Canales' job a lot easier, I will tell you that, because he is not a guy who's, he's a first-time head coach. He doesn't have, like, the Rolodex necessarily that like Frank Reich did, for instance, last year. And so he was able to just they were able just to not even worry about the defensive side of the coaches' offices with guys like D'Angelo Hall, Ajero Vera we've mentioned, and then they've got a really highly regarded secondary coach named Jonathan Cooley. So D'Angelo Hall is in good hands and is contributing a lot to that defensive staff room.
Good to hear that. Final question. So the Commanders' new coaching staff, in terms of offensive coaches, features a lot of guys with good reputations who have not worked together previously. Cliff Kingsbury as offensive coordinator, Brian Johnson as assistant head coach slash offensive pass game coordinator, Anthony Lynn as run game coordinator slash running backs coach. There are others who I could mention, but something that has come up is, yeah, having all of these smart and established coaches on the same staff can be great, but that also can lead to infighting and backstabbing. And the 2023 Panthers coaching staff comes up as an example of those things. You know that situation well. How bad was it?
It was a big-time flaw. Myself and a athletic colleague, Diana Russini, we did a pretty damning piece back toward the end of the season after the Frank Reich had been fired. And it was mostly on that really exclusively on the offensive side. And you're right. A year ago, we were writing all these sort of very glowing stories about this all-star staff. I mentioned Deuce Staley is well known around the league. Sean Jefferson, the receivers coach, well known. Josh McCown is a guy that, was getting talked about and got interviews to be the Texans head coach with zero experience. This was his first position coach job. But what happened is when things kind of went south, you started because these guys hadn't worked together. There were a couple guys who knew Frank Reich. Mostly, and who went down with the ship with him, mostly McCown and Staley, whom I mentioned. You had other guys kind of backstabbing, and these factions formed, and it got ugly. Like, there are a couple guys who were held over from the previous staff that the owner had, basically foisted onto Frank Reich. He didn't know. And I think this goes on a lot of different places. And if you're winning, or if at least you're showing progression and a movement in a positive direction, you kind of live with it. But if it does go south, then you can see the loyalties all of a sudden just get completely tested and divided.
Wow, that's something. The politics of coaching, a cautionary tale.
Well, the headline of that story was something about the Hunger Games mentality of the Panthers coaching staff, which didn't make me real popular the latter half of the season, Al.
I hear you. Well, that was a tremendous piece that you co-authored. Panthers insider Joe Person of The Athletic. Tremendous insight. Joe, thank you, and all the best.
Absolutely, Al, and good luck to you, sir.
All right. Hey, with everything happening with the Commanders, make sure that you are listening to this podcast. And if you're on Instagram, make sure that you're following at WSH on the Daily. WSH on the Daily just started in 2021 and yet has more than 25,000 followers and is literally daily. The page is updated every day. News, notes, reports, photos, graphics. WSH on the Daily is a page that properly sources and vets its news and information, doesn't just post anything that anyone says. WSH on the Daily is a great place at which you can converse with other Commanders fans regarding the team, the draft, free agency, and trades. WSH on the Daily responds to every single DM. WSH on the Daily is a page at which you can have fun, including the contest Name That Redskin and free Wallpaper Wednesday. And WSH on the Daily always has a great fresh look. If you're on Instagram, check out at WSH on the Daily and check out at WSH on the Daily's online shop, WSHonthedaily.com. Some outstanding gear, shirts, hoodies, excellent material, modern looks. So for smart, informative, fun, and engaging Commanders content, check out at WSH on the Daily on Instagram. And for great merch, visit WSHonthedaily.com. Well, things had been going so well for the Capitals, 10-4-1 over their last 15 games, but then came Wednesday night, during which things did not go well for the Caps. A 7-3 loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs at Capital One Arena. The Caps for this NHL regular season now are 33-26-9 and have 75 points, 1 point behind the Detroit Red Wings for the Eastern Conference's second and final wildcard spot, and 3 points behind the Philadelphia Flyers for third in the Metropolitan Division. The top three teams in each division make the Stanley Cup playoffs. Charlie Lindgren on Wednesday night was the Caps starting goaltender yet again, 22nd time in 29 games, but he stopped just 22 of the 29 shots on goal that he faced. This was not a good game for Lindgren. 6 of the 7 goals that he allowed were even strength goals. The Caps went 4 of 5 on the penalty kill. Lindgren, per Natural Stat Trick, stopped just 3 of the 7 high danger shots on goal that he faced, stopped just 5 of the 7 medium danger shots on goal that he faced, and stopped 15 of the 16 low danger shots on goal that he faced. And it's not like the Caps got smashed in the puck possession battle. They did have just 21 shots on goal to the Maple Leafs 29, but the Caps per Natural Stat Trick had 56 5-on-5 shot attempts to the Maple Leafs 48, including 10 5-on-5 high danger shot attempts to the Maple Leafs 7. The Maple Leafs are a good team and are a high octane offense team. They for this regular season are in third place in the Atlantic Division and are number one in the Eastern Conference in goals with 251. A big reason for that is center Austin Matthews, and he on Wednesday night had his way with our Caps. Matthews had 5 points, 2 goals, and 3 assists. He, for this regular season, now has an NHL-leading 57 goals. Also, Maple Leaf center Max Domi had 4 assists, including 3 primary assists. A bright spot for the Caps was the Grade 8. Top-line left wing Alex Ovechkin, he had 2 goals, a game-high 11 total shot attempts, and 6 hits. So Ovechkin scored a power play goal 9:57 into the second period as the Caps went 1-1 on the power play. And he scored an even strength goal 6:42 into the third period, giving him 23 goals for this regular season and 845 career NHL regular season goals, moving him to 49 goals from tying the great one, Wayne Gretzky, for the most career regular season goals in NHL history. Yes, Ovi now less than 50 goals away from tying Gretzky. Ovechkin on Wednesday night did commit a third period hooking minor. The Caps Other goal came from top-line center Connor McMichael. He scored an even-strength goal at 13:34 into the second period for his 15th goal of this regular season. The Caps were without two key wingers for this game. TJ Oshie did not play due to an upper body injury, and Alexi Protas did not play due to a lower body injury. But a rough loss for the Caps, who gave up an even-strength goal by number 34, Austin Matthews, just 16 seconds into the first period, and gave up an even-strength goal by winger William Nylander 56 seconds into the second period. Nylander had a goal and two primary assists. Here was Caps head coach Spencer Carberry during his post-game press conference on Wednesday night.
Behind the eight ball from the start, right? So we fight back multiple times in that game and get it within striking distance, and then it just felt like we would just make that one mistake or just that shift that would kill us or kill the momentum of us getting back into that game. Happened multiple times. So a combination of a bunch of things. Obviously, we had zero answer for 34 tonight in their lineup, so that's an issue. And then felt like we made a few mistakes, uncharacteristic, big mistakes in big moments, like the Nylander goal. That just can't happen. The first goal against can't happen. So those situations, even though for the most part I think we did a lot of good things, we just had some isolated incidents that were uncharacteristic and just can't happen this time of year.
And next up for the Caps are two games this weekend, each of which is against a good team. The Caps are home to the Carolina Hurricanes Friday night at 7. The Hurricanes are second in the Metropolitan Division, and the Caps are home to the Winnipeg Jets Sunday afternoon at 12:30. The Jets are part of a three-way tie for first in the Central Division. And that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Friday show, episode 789. We'll have much more on the Commanders. Also on Friday show, I'll talk Wizards. They are home to the Sacramento Kings Thursday night at 7. Have a great rest of your Thursday, and I'll talk to you on Friday.
I wonder what you think of the current roster.